Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in Revelation and chapter number 3. The book of Revelation in Revelation and chapter number 3. We've been going through this series of the seven churches of Revelation, understanding that Jesus Christ had wrote literal letters to literal churches. Now, how did Jesus write literal letters? Well, he had a human penman. That John was there available on the island of Patmos. Jesus spoke to John. John would write down these letters. Then he would send the whole book of Revelation to the very first book, or very first church, of the church of Ephesus. There, someone would take that letter, the whole book, and write it out for themselves so they would have a copy, then send the book, the letter, to the next church. There, they would write down the letter for themselves, then send that original letter on, so we could see not only the principle of inspiration, but we also see the idea of preservation. And then finally, it goes to church to church to church and is landed into the Church of Philadelphia. Now, the Church of Philadelphia is the smallest of all of the churches that's being addressed. Now, that should be an encouragement that Jesus cares about the small churches as well as the big churches. And if you don't mind, let's read the letter that Jesus wrote to this literal church of Philadelphia, this small little church. And we find it recorded for us in the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and notice with me in verse number 7. Revelation chapter 3 in verse number 7, the Bible says this. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep them from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And if you have the marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ tells this church in Revelation chapter 3? Revelation chapter 3, and notice with me in verse number 8. Notice this, I have set before thee an open door. I have set before thee an open door. And if you don't mind, let's rearrange the title a little bit and talk about the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of the Open Door. The church of the open door. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you tonight and open up your word, we're asking that you would give us great encouragement from your Bible, that we could be able to learn more about you and whom you are, and that we could put our dependence and trust upon you. that as we study this small church, that we could relate to it and that we could see what you have to say even to a small church. Give us encouragement. Fill me with your Spirit. We put our dependence upon you, not only for my speaking, but we put our dependence upon you for our hearing and for our obeying. Lord, thank you for whom you are and that we can trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't mind, then let's examine this letter that the Lord Jesus Christ wrote to the Church of Philadelphia, and let's learn a couple things from what Jesus says to it. First of all, the God that opens. The God that opens. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 7. We could see that God starts off each one of these letters by pointing to him. That's always the principle. It all begins with God. We look at God, and as we see God and how he truly is, then we see ourselves and the work for what it truly is. So Jesus always starts these letters by showing who's speaking, who gives the authority, who is he to address these churches. Well, let's look and see this God, the God that opens. Verse number 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. So notice Jesus goes off by saying, let me tell you who's addressing this. You have a God who is holy. Now, holiness is a very big, important principle that we find throughout the Bible. The idea of holy means to be set apart. It carries the idea that it's sanctified. And the idea of God, it carries the idea that he is perfect. And it's saying, who is this that's writing this letter? The God that's perfect. The God that's set aside. The God that is high, higher than all. He is holy. He is perfect. He is set apart. He is unique. Notice this. He says unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, these things saith he that is true. Who is it that God can say these things? Because everything that he says is true. He is the God of truth. He is the God who's not going to lie, not going to exaggerate. He is the God who is honest, and we can trust his word. We can trust his word. Notice what he goes on and to say in verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Now this becomes important. He that holds the key of David, it symbolizes his, God's authority and power to open and shut doors. What do you do with keys? You open and lock doors. If most of you, before you exited your room or your house, you locked your door. Why? Because you don't want people who are not authorized to go into it. You only want authorized people. How do you know you're authorized? They have a key. Someone who has a key to the church building has authorization to come in. If they don't have a key, they can't get in or they break in. Jesus says, I got the key. And I have the only key. I could open up doors and I could lock them so no man could open them. Who is the God that we trust? The God who could open doors. Who could open doors that we can't open of ourselves. Now notice what he's going to do with his church. He has the key, is going to open doors, and he's going to keep them wide open, that no one can shut them. The church is going to have wide open doors. He has the authority to open up doors of opportunity. He has the authority to open up doors of influence. He has the authority to open up doors of blessings, to open up doors where people give us favor that we could never do ourselves. The opportunity for his servants to do things and that no force on this earth can close. Notice, if you don't mind, we see some more. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. Isn't that a blessing what God can do? Is that he can open up doors that we could have never done ourselves. He can open up influence with people that could have never been done ourselves. It is no secret what God can do. God could do so many things beyond and above our influence, beyond and above our own station, above and beyond. Now, why is that a big deal? Because once again, the Church of Philadelphia is a small church. Notice what again it says in verse number 9. Verse number 8. I know thy works. So I says, I see what you're doing. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou has a little strength. Notice this. They have a little strength. They don't have enough strength to do something. Again, this is making reference to, this is a small little church. You know, sometimes people get to the idea, well, it's a small church, so they're not going to amount to much. I want to see the big church. I want to go to a big church. When people call, normally when they call asking information about the church, this is what they go, do you have any programs for my kids? Do you have this program? What can you do for me is what they're saying. I want to join a church where they could do something for me, where they have programs, where they could do something for my family. And I can understand that. But you know what you should be asking is, what do you believe? What's your doctrine? Is Christ there? Is God opening doors? You know, people say, well, I'll join your church later when you're bigger. We need your help now.
Amen.
But you know, with a small church, we don't have the flashy things. We were explaining in Sunday school, what God loves is people who have to depend upon them. Why? Their strength is small. You think about in a larger church where they have opportunities that they get to pick who they want. Oh, there's a concert pianist. Let's let them play. And so no one else gets an opportunity because no one plays like them. Well, that's all well and good. And praise the Lord for those things that a big church has. But I personally believe having someone who says, I don't know much, God, please help me. I need your help. And there, that God could use them a lot more.
Amen.
Because God plus his Holy Spirit works. And someone who is a concert pianist and knows every note and whatever else, they don't have to trust in God. They have a lot of strength, but their strength is their weakness. Here he says, you got small strength. You don't have a lot of ability, but I can use it. I can open up doors. I can make it work. Having someone... bigger churches have more opportunities because they could pick who they want to song lead. But when you have someone who says, I only have a little strength, I only know I can read music, I can move my arms sometimes, and they get up there, they're like, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. Help me not to mess things. Help me sing. They have to depend upon God. They have to trust in God. Their strength is small, and God could open up opportunities. This is encouraging for a small church because a small church can get a syndrome. Well, we don't have that. We don't have this. We can't do this. We can't do this. But you know what God can do with a small church that's dependent upon God? He can open up doors wide that people say, how in the world does this work? And the church says, it was all God. God did it. We didn't have the open doors. We didn't have the influence. God did it. God did it. This was a church whose strength was small. Remember, your greatest ability is your availability.
Amen.
Trusting in God. And God says, I can open up doors for you that your influence, your station, you know, you can have churches, and I know churches that have millionaires in there. Here, we don't have any millionaires. We don't even have thousandaires.
Amen.
But you know, God can open up and use churches like this to do so much. By the way, people, because of the way that we give and take care of missions and do all these other projects, they think that we're running hundreds. People come in and like, what would you, oh, I was expecting something different. Well, yeah. They're like, how do you get this accomplished? God.
Amen.
God. How do you pass out so many tracks? God. How do you pass out so many? God. How do you? God. We come in and every time you give in, you give us gifts of brand new books and whatever. How does that happen? God. God opens up doors. That's encouraging because it's not dependent on our size and it's not dependent that we have that one person who gives. We're dependent on God taking little. Little is much when God is in it. God is able to open doors. So here is a small church that the Lord Jesus Christ is writing. May I remind you that in this church there is no condemnation? He's yelled at a couple other churches and said, you're wrong. There's a couple churches he didn't say anything good about. This one he doesn't say anything bad about. This is a small little church that's doing their best, and God is opening up doors beyond their size and their influence. He is the God who opens the doors, who is able to do above and beyond. Why? Why would he do this for this church? Verse number 8 again. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. and not denied my name. What made God open up the door for this small little church? They kept his word. That makes it simple, doesn't it? The Bible says it, we're going to do it. We're going to obey the best we can with the ability that we have and trust God to work. That's it. Remember that the true success of a church is not in its size, but in its likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a church that said, we're going to follow after Jesus. We're going to do our best. We don't have much, but whatever we have, we're doing it for the Lord. And God says, I'm going to open up doors for you. I'm going to let you do more than churches twice, three times, four times your size, because you're willing to be obedient. You're willing to trust me. You're willing to do something with what I gave you. I'm going to open up doors that you couldn't even imagine doing, even though you're a small church. Isn't that encouraging? That it's all dependent upon God. God could open up doors. He could shut doors. He could do things. We can trust the God to do this. Then we just get to step forward and trust God with it. Notice again in verse 8. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, that and no man can shut that. Isn't that encouraging? God could open up doors and no man will shut it. We could trust him. We could trust him. Open doors and close doors. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. What about this Philadelphian church? What made it so special? It was a church in revival. What is the basics of revival? Dependence upon God. They trusted God. They depended upon God, and God worked. That makes it pretty simple, isn't it? They just trusted God. They obeyed what God gave them, and God worked. He opened up doors. When God opens up doors to go reach neighborhoods and reach countries, that's power of God revival. You know, most churches don't have the power of God upon them anymore because there's no dependence upon God. And then when it baffles people to have a small church that's doing something amazing for God, people like, how in the world? God. Watching God's presence, watching God's blessings. Most churches don't have God's presence, God's power on them. Now, I'm not trying to do comparison. I'm saying for the Church of Philadelphia, it had God's blessing and God's power. It wasn't because of their size. It was because they trusted God more. Trusted God more. They depended upon God. This teaches us that when we're weak, we could be strong as we're trusting in God. God is bigger than it all. It's not dependent upon us. You need to be encouraged by that too, because there are days that you don't feel weak or strong. You feel like I'm barely going to survive. You just say, God, use me beyond my ability. God, I'm just here, whatever you see fit. And God can use you in ways you couldn't even imagine. Opening up doors. We need this reminder. Because, you know, if you could forgive the cultural reference, sometimes we feel like the island of misfit toys. Yep. Nobody likes us. Nobody thinks we use it. We don't amount to everything. The rest of society, the rest of the churches look down because we don't look the right size, the same shape. We don't have the right intellect. We don't have the right influence. We don't have the right this. We don't have the right this. God says, I don't care about all that. Are you available? Are you willing to obey me? Then I could use you. We need that reminder that it's not that we have to be cookie cutter Christians. We don't have to fit a mold. We don't have to follow certain rules and then we reject and have quality control that if you don't meet this standard, we're kicking you out. God says, can you trust me more than you? Can you trust me? Then I'll open up doors that you couldn't even imagine. What an encouraging message to a small church that everyone else, they expect Paul to write a letter to the biggest churches in the area. Here's a letter to one of the smallest and said, guess what? I know that you're few. In fact, if I remember right, this is off the top of my head, this church had about 30 members, the Church of Philadelphia. That's it. And God says, I'm going to open up doors. That, you know, the Church of Ephesus, that's big. You got the Church of Corinth, who I didn't even write a letter to. It's not on the Asia. Here's Corinth, 120 members. Church of Jerusalem, mega church. But he says, I'm writing this small little church. Let them know, I could open up doors that no man can shut. Just if you depend upon me, trust in me. That's all it takes. Trusting in me. Let me open the doors. Letting me go. So we start off by seeing that there's a God that opens. We also see in this letter there's a God that keeps. A God that keeps. Now this is good. God that keeps. Notice with me. Verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they're Jews and are not. Now, this is important. He says Satan is going to throw counterfeits. This is a principle that you find throughout the Bible. Satan always tries to give counterfeits. That he'll try to give another option that seems to be good, but it's a counterfeit option. It's not Jesus' option. Satan wants to get you off track. He tries to throw a counterfeit. You're trying to find God's will. You'll have God's will in a plain path, but right nearby, Satan will give you another option. It's a counterfeit. Satan's pretty good at counterfeiting. He's a good imitator. He can't do what God does, but he tries to get you off path. And here they have the synagogue of Satan that say they're Jews, but they're not. It's a counterfeit. And he's using these people who claim to be Jews that are not to try to harass the church of Philadelphia, trying to give them a hard time. Now notice, the open doors doesn't mean that there's an absence of trouble. The Apostle Paul addresses the same thing too, that God has opened up a door effectual and there are many adversaries. That word is not but it's an and. The many adversaries come with that open door. That's what we see here too. That as God opens up the door, Satan is going to try to get the church to stop depending on God, to get their eyes off God, to get on the problems, get on the issues, so they're no longer dependent upon God. And then the door shut. Not because Satan shut it, but because the people are no longer trusting God. They're no longer looking at him. But there's a God that keeps. He says here, the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan, which say that they're Jews, but are not. Now, that's a pretty blatant thing. The synagogue of Satan. These are people who don't belong to me that are trying to give this small little church a hard time. He says, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, what we're going to hit now is that this is a small little church that in the present time, when he's writing this, is trying to do their best they can. They're depending upon God, trusting God beyond their ability. It's not me, it's God. God's opened up doors. And they've got adversaries that are giving them a hard time. But you know what God does to encourage that small church is he doesn't take them to the here and now. He points them to the future. And what we have here is a millennial kingdom passage. The rest of this passage is going to lead into eschatology, the study of last things, millennial kingdom, tribulation, all this stuff. And here he says, you know those same people that were giving you a hard time? I'm going to make them servants. I'm going to make them at your feet. They're going to look up and say, wow, look at how God has honored them, how God has rewarded them. Look at what God has done with them. He says, and why? What would be God's motive? To know that I loved thee. We're going to talk more about that principle tonight, that God, Jesus, loved that small church. And there are many evidences that he loved that small church. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be the biggest church to have the love of God. You could be a small little rinky-dink church that no one knows about that trying to do the best. And Jesus says, I love them. I love that church. I want to be a type of church that Jesus loves rather than the world loves. Amen. I mean, we want to have a good testimony with the community, but we don't want to say, oh, I love that church. They agree with us on everything. That's not going to be true. We want to have it so Jesus says, I love that church. That's the type of church we want to be. And Jesus said, to prove that I love you, I'm going to let your enemies be at your feet. Again, millennial kingdom passage. Remember, Jesus talked about the greatest shall be least and the least shall be greatest. He talked about that he's going to reward those. You know, it's going to be in the small churches of people who were faithful to what they had are going to receive such big rewards. People that we don't even know their names. I mean, we think of the Spurgeons, we think of the Moody's, we think of the other stuff. But do you know that the idea of the rewards is, are you obedient to your own opportunities and your own abilities?
Yes.
You know, Seymour, we try to knock on it once a year. You know, and try to, so it's not just we try to knock on Seymour, period. We heard of a church not too long ago. I knocked on this whole thing 20 years ago. Great, I'm glad you knocked it all, but update that thing. We try to knock it once a year. If we are faithfully knocking on the door once a year and trying to reach our community, you think God's going to say, good job?
Yes.
It's what he's given us to do. In addition, my goal is to eventually knock on every door in Green Bay. If we're faithfully reaching the community that God has given to us, are we being obedient? Even if we don't seem to have the size that goes with it, it's not on our size. It's in our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be many people who are obedient to what God has given them to do and not disobedient. They're going to receive more rewards and more faithfulness. God says, I trusted you. You were in a small town. No one knew about it, but you did what was right even when no one was looking. I'm rewarding you because I could trust you.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to be in a mega church and have your name in the newspaper for you to get the biggest rewards. You're to be in this. You could be in the smallest church and be obedient to what God has given you to do. And God gives you the rewards because it's based off of your opportunities and your obedience. And God says, I'm going to prove to everyone that I loved you by letting your enemies be at your feet. I'm going to exalt you up that everyone's going to recognize, wow, that was someone that Jesus trusted. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Notice as he goes on in verse number 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Now pause. Kept the word of my patience. So they kept God's word and were obedient, but they also kept God's word of patience. What is it that we're supposed to be patiently waiting for? The coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We've been obedient to Jesus saying, I'm coming back and work for the night is coming to be obedient. Because he says, because of this, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, you've been patiently waiting and been obedient, knowing I'm coming back. Notice this, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, we say, what in the world is this speaking about? This is speaking about what is often called the Great Tribulation, the 7 years of period. We have a promise because he loves the church that being obedient, we're not going to be here. I'm not going to let you be tried and tempted like everyone else. You're going to be out of here. Praise the Lord for the rapture.
Woo-hoo.
That's a promise of the rapture here. And the early part of Revelation, not the end part of the Revelation. He says, because you've been waiting for me, looking unto Jesus, waiting for him to come, which is our blessed hope, the book of Titus says. There's so much talking about Jesus Christ coming. We're waiting for it. We're believing he's coming. We're trusting he could come back at any time. I don't know when he's coming back. We're going to be obedient. We're trusting in him. We're preparing. We're working for the night is coming. We're keeping our eyes on him. Jesus said, God says, I want to give you a guarantee. You're not going to be at the tribulation. Now, that's not implying that other Christians are not going to be at the tribulation, but that's a great promise. I'm looking for his coming, and God's going to reward me from what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Jesus to come and take me out of here before the tribulation happens. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he's going to give me what I'm looking for. Amen. Now, again, it's not teaching that some people are Christians are going to go through the tribulation, others are not. It's saying because you're looking for it, I'm giving you a guarantee that you're not going through it. It's going to be awful in this world and you're not going to be tried. You're not going to be tempted. You don't have to make those hard decisions whether you're going to go to church when they're killing you or not own a Bible or whatever. You're not going to be here. Amen. This is to a small little church. This is great encouragement for a church that's trying to be obedient. A church that says, nobody even knows we exist. I'm surprised Jesus had our address. But God knows about where we are. He sees the obedience. He says, I got some promises for you. By the way, we'll get more into tonight about how much Jesus loved this church and the promises he made to this small little church because they were being obedient to him. Notice as it goes on. Verse number 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, so no man may take thy crown. Verse number 11, may I remind you, it says, I come quickly. It does not say Jesus is coming soon. it says that he is coming quickly. That carries the idea that he is coming suddenly. That's another phrase that's used, and I come suddenly. Some people said, well, Jesus is coming soon. No man knoweth the man of the day of the hour. They've been saying Jesus is coming soon since the apostles were alive. The apostles were disappointed that Jesus didn't come. They kept looking for him all the time. We should be looking forward to Jesus, but we don't know when it's going to happen. We just do know when he comes, it's going to come quickly. What does that mean? You don't have time to prepare. If you knew that Jesus Christ is coming back tomorrow, you would wait and put off all your duties till tomorrow. But when he comes, it's coming without notice, without preparation, without fanfare. Boom, he's there and gone. That means that we always need to be ready and looking. And this is what that church has done. He's given a reminder. You don't know when I'm coming. You're preparing and you're being obedient now, ready for me to go. Amen. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Meaning to be obedient, keep doing what you're supposed to do. Don't drop that. That no man take thy crown. Now remember, inside of the judgment seat of Christ, which is different than the judgment for the lost. When we're being judged, we're not being judged for our sins. We're being judged for our labor for the Lord or lack of it and our motive, and we're going to receive reward or loss of reward. Notice again, verse number 11. Behold, I come quickly, and hold fast that which thou hast, that no man taketh thy crown. He's saying, keep being obedient. Keep looking at to me, and you're going to receive a reward. You're not going to lose your reward if you keep looking to me and keep depending and trusting in me. Here's a church that the other ones he's been talking about the here and now. He's been talking about this is what's going to happen. Be careful. I'm going to pull your candlestick. If you don't do this, you need to fix this. You need to fix this. To this church, he's not saying you need to fix this. He's saying, keep it up and I'm rewarding you. You're not going to be there at the tribulation. I'm going to give you a blessing when it comes time to receive rewards. I'm going to let the kingdoms fall at your feet and recognize that you were important after all. Isn't that good stuff? Yes. That he tells us, for us, we're not looking at the present. Keep doing what you're doing. We get to look forward to the future. And he's got plans for us. He's got an open door. He's got all these things planned for us. God knows what he's doing. We can trust in him. We can keep looking at him. We can depend upon him. He gives us a promise to take care of his own. We can trust him. So we start it. We have a God that opens. We have a God that keeps. We also have a God who is named. A God who is named. Notice with me in verse number 12. Him that overcometh. Remember that each of these letters have this overcometh. What is the idea of overcoming? I give you a list of things to do, and those that obey me, you're going to receive a reward. What is this church supposed to do? Keep depending on God. Hold fast. Keep doing. Keep staying on track. Don't stop what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. Now this is pretty important. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar. What is a pillar? A pillar is something that is used to hold a building up. It was used as a kind of a structural. So we know that there are weight-bearing walls. This carries the weight. It's a pillar. It's something to keep the whole structure strong. He says, you know what? You obey. You keep going on. Keep doing. I'm going to make you a pillar. I'm going to make you a very important person inside of my kingdom. A small little church that no one knows who you are, God says, I'm going to make you a pillar where you are going to be an important member to hold things up in the millennial kingdom. Isn't that a blessing? Wonderful what God can do. That God could put us in a little church that nobody knows who you are, and you're going to be important there in the millennial kingdom. What a wonderful God. Remember, it doesn't matter how big the church that you are serve, that even in small churches, you have someone that says, no one knows me, but I'm going to be obedient because God's watching. God sees what I'm doing. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. And God has rewards for me. He's going to use me. I'm going to be important inside the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. People are going to like, that guy was important. That lady was important. She's necessary. God has put them in a position where they are an important part of what he is doing. Wonderful. It goes on, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Once again, talking about this millennial kingdom and eternity future. This New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven. Now, this is going to be addressed later on in Revelation 21 and 22. This is going to be important. New Jerusalem, which cometh out of heaven, and I will write upon him my new name. This overcomer is going to be identified with the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Going to be identified with the citizenship of heaven. And he's going to have the names of Jesus written on him, representing a share of Jesus' glory, a new identity with him. Oh, praise the Lord. God's got some promises, things that we couldn't even understand and fathom. But God says, trust me. Small little rinky-dink town, small little rinky-dink church, but being faithful to what God's given to do. I'm going to make them important in the millennial kingdom. I'm going to make them important inside of heaven. I'm going to make them an important part of my plans that I have for the future. Me? This church? Yes. Isn't that wonderful that even small churches God cares about? Amen. That we don't have to be the biggest church around for God to open up doors. We don't have to be the biggest church around for God to use. We don't have to be the biggest church in town for us not to be important in God's plans for Amen. The future. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? That God has plans even for a church like I. May I remind you, don't turn there, but may I remind you in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You can't even imagine all the things that God has planned for you in the future if you love him. Remember, if you love him, you keep his commandments. If you love him, you keep saying, Jesus, I want to see you soon. I can't wait to see you. I'm looking forward to him's coming. He's our blessed hope. It changes us, the way that we work, the way that we labor, the way that we respond. Said, nobody knows who I am. It doesn't matter. Jesus does. Nobody cares about what I do. Jesus does. The things I do, doesn't matter. Jesus, it does. Your greatest ability is your availability. Being obedient to what God has given us to do. Just being surrendered, say, God, use me however you see fit. What you do may not seem to matter in the light of the present, but in the light of eternity, it matters quite a bit to watch God work. For those of you who like biographies, it is very interesting to see how many big name historical preachers, big name historical missionaries, big name historical songwriters came from small towns, came from small churches. There was a church, Andrew Murray, I believe it was. I think I have the name right. He wrote so many things about prayer. Maybe it was Ian Bounds, one of those two. Small little church in Atlanta, Georgia, in the backwoods, Georgia, not even Atlanta, backwoods, Georgia. But Spurgeon said, man, that guy has prayed a whole heaven above that town that he's at. Small little church, but had such a big impact on how we pray, even today, that influence. Small little churches and small little towns have a big impact on what God is doing in this world now and what he has planned later on. This underscores the glorious future for those who have been faithful to God's work. God promises extent beyond our current understanding, beyond what we can even think, what we could see, what we hear, what we could ask, what we could even come into our heart. He has things planned for us, the blessings and the eternal rewards, if we're just faithful to him. Isn't it wonderful that even a small little church is being addressed here? Amen. And Jesus says, keep going. You're doing good. Just keep doing what you're doing. I see you. We don't have the programs. We don't have this. We don't have the great this and the great this. But we have God's Bible. And we can be obedient to the thing that God has given us to do. And God can do amazing things. The whole theme that we have this year is that everyone has a part to play inside of God's work. What is God's work? His local church. Well, you said, we're a small local church. Should I go somewhere else? No. Be faithful to what you have here.
Amen. Yep.
God's the one who opens the doors. God's the one who keeps. God's the one who blesses. We can trust in him. Maybe you've been discouraged a little bit. Maybe you've been at the place where you say, does God see me? May I remind you that there was actually a song that was written that reiterates this whole thing. Give me just a second. Let me find it for you. And I want to read the words to you and just see that this is exactly what God was saying. It says in the song, little is much when God is in it. Listen to the words, if you don't mind. Little is much when God is in it. It says, in the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling is you. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you could win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it and he'll not forget his own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Let me tell you that when you're in a church like this, you don't have to be discouraged. God's doing some big things here.
Amen.
We may not have the size that reflects it in the world's eyes, but the idea is the who we have, are we being obedient? Are we watching God work? And God can open up doors beyond our thoughts, beyond our thinking, beyond what we could even have in our hearts. He's got so much more planned for us. The greatest days are still ahead. Amen. Stick with it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And we're praying that you would encourage us today to keep moving forward, to keep advancing in the battle, to keep watching you work, that we know that we're not the biggest church around, but help us to be one of the most obedient churches around, that we've determined that we're going to follow after you, keep our eyes on you, that you use us as you see fit, and that you would open doors that no man can shut. Lord, thank you again for the privilege of being a part of this local church. Lord, I'm asking that you would help people as you had instructed to hold fast, to keep moving forward. Maybe you're not moving forward. Maybe this is a chance for you to get on board with what God is already doing in this local church. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind, to stand to your feet. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.